A small memorial ceremony, Smriti Sabha, on the day of his disappearance. But the main festival dedicated to his memory will be celebrated today. So today's program is as follows. We will have a small video clipping of Maharaj. This includes some of his most ecstatic kirtans and also a homage by Radhanath Maharaj. And after that will be further offerings made by devotees from Radha Gopinath Mandir. तो आज का प्रोग्राम इस प्रकार से है. आज का ये संडे फीस्ट प्रोग्राम हिज होलीनेस श्रील भक्ति तीर्थ स्वामी महाराज की पवित्र स्मृति में अर्पित है. हम शुरुआत करेंगे उनकी जीवनी पर एक छोटी सी फिल्म दिखाकर और उसके बाद यहाँ के बाकी भक्त श्रद्धांजलि अर्पण करेंगे. जिस दिन उनका तिरुभाव हुआ था उस दिन हमने छोटी स्मृति सभा यहाँ पर रखी थी, लेकिन जो मेन प्रोग्राम है फीस्ट उनकी स्मृति में वो आज हम यहाँ पर कर रहे हैं. यहाँ पर हरे कृष्ण इज ग्रेस राधा कृष्ण प्रभु टू प्लीज काइंडली बिगिन.
His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj is very well known to the congregation of Sri Sri Radha Gopinath Temple. We just saw the clips from his previous visit. I had the good fortune of having his association mainly during the GBC meetings where he would attend every year. He was one of the most powerful participants during the meetings. And his thrust was always towards the future of ISKCON, a great visionary, whereas most of the times during the meetings would be spent on solving problems and crises. He would always be asking for more time so that the different members could give their inputs on how to improve things for future and how to increase the preaching. We all know about his wonderful kirtans, his excellent dance, about his glorious book distribution in the earlier days. The last I spoke to him was a couple of months back. I was on the train going to Vrindavan and he called me up on my mobile. He wanted His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj to write the preface to his latest book. And in that connection he called. And even such a exalted Vaishnava, he asked me, where are you? I said, Maharaj, I'm on my way to Vrindavan. He said, oh, it is so auspicious to talk to you since you are on your way to Vrindavan. I said, Maharaj, for me it is auspicious to talk to you wherever I might be. His most positive contribution towards spreading Krishna consciousness was in two fields. He would preach to the most important, learned and influential people in society. Some of the kings and the leaders of the tribes were his disciples. And his books which he wrote were very, very strong messages from the teachings of Srila Prabhupada, but they were in a hidden way giving what is today known as management. Through the excuse of teaching management, he would subtly instill the principles of Krishna consciousness in his books. to the extent that there were some devotees who would even question him, and they would feel that some of these books which he has written, because they could not understand them, were perhaps going off from what Srila Prabhupada has taught us. But he had a very clear mission, a clear thinking, and a very clear vision. In that mood, he has written these books. And of course, what to speak about his glorious departure. We have heard from devotees who are present over there, and from the regular messages that we were receiving on the internet and email about his total absorption in Krishna consciousness to his last minute. His Holiness Bhakti Tirth Maharaj ki jai.
Hare Krishna. I first read about His Holiness Bhakti Tirth Maharaj in one Back to Godhead magazine. That article is still there. It's titled The Two Lives of John Favors. And that was his Christian name. This unique personality, John Favors, was a very gifted child, born in a lower income African American family. Right from his childhood, he was very, very much influenced by his mother, who instilled in him deep appreciation for higher morals, character, and the right attitude. Brilliant student, he got entrance into one of the premier educational institutes of America, Princeton. There are only 5 or 6 such colleges, and most of America's political leaders, business leaders, presidents, they all come from these places. So you can imagine what must be the prospect for such a young man. At the same time, he was a social activist. He was a thinker. So he got into one radical social movement, and he changed his name to Toshombe Abdul. From a simple Christian background to a radical Islamic activist. And the picture is there of a face, afro beard, and he was fully into it. If some of you might have known, there were people like Malcolm X who were the big leaders of radical Islam, which was gaining popularity. After that, he somehow changed tracks, and there was one Indian impersonalist, along with so many Indian sadhus who had gone to the West. This particular Mayavadi sadhu, a little bit of his teachings about Vedanta and others were appealing to Abdul. That time he was not calling himself John Favors. And again his train came on the Vedanta line. And he would ask his teacher so many questions. His teacher would try to give him answers to almost everything except one. He would say, "Are you my spiritual master, my guru?" And he would say, "No." So he would say, "I come to you, I ask you questions, but why every time I ask you this question, you say no?" And one day, in their town, in the newspaper, article came with a picture. Guess what? Hare Krishnas are chanting in downtown. And his impersonalist teacher told him, the person who founded this movement is your guru. And he said, what? These people who run around in bed sheets, they have some funny paint on their faces. That person is my guru? As he had said, he had to experiment with what these people were doing. So he had just graduated, and his graduation, his main subject was international law. So he got a very prestigious job. And then he came in contact with devotees. And as I think Nartaki Mataji said that day, devotees would treat him just like, you know, anyone just come in the temple, and why should we give so much importance to him? Especially, specifically, they must have thought that since he's African-American body, what he might be giving. You know, he might be some of the ghettos or might be just a unemployed person. But Satsarup Maharaj, when he talked with him, immediately some chemistry formed between them. And he was at that time thinking of forming the BBT Library Party. Something in India we are not quite aware. But this is one specific thing which was to be so dear to Prabhupada. Because when Prabhupada came to America, his first and foremost objective was to establish Vaishnavism as a bona fide religion. So Prabhupada would always counter argument saying that, what makes you think that chanting Hare Krishna in the streets would give somebody salvation? And Prabhupada would say, read our books. How can you say Krishna is God? God tends cows? He's a coward boy? How is it scientific? Prabhupada said, read our books. But unless devotees are successful in giving those books to people, how are people going to read them? And generally books, especially on Indology or Vedanta or spirituality, they need to be either praised or recommended by some scholars. That was a specific job of the BBT Library Party. They would go in suits, ties, wigs, and they would say that we are representatives of the Bhaktivedanta Book Trust, which is a big publishing house, and we would like to see that your college or your institution keep our books. And especially, Satsarup Maharaj has lately written a letter. Among the whole group of devotees, they would really admire the way in which Bhakti Tirth Maharaj would, it's more like couching the message, saying the same words but in a different way. And as the number of orders grew, again, this is something of a phenomenon in the West. When an author gets a standing order, what's a standing order? If you say that I'm going to write 5 books on this particular subject, only one is out. And if a library says, okay, we'll put a standing order, that means the moment you publish the second volume, we'll buy it. The moment you publish the third volume, we'll buy it. So Prabhupada's Srimad Bhagavatam, which was not completed yet at that time, Bhakti Tirth Maharaj would be getting standing orders from colleges, institutions, public libraries. Seeing his success, he was sent to the communist countries at that time to get into Russia or East Germany, Romania, Bulgaria, Czechoslovakia, Poland was next to impossible. And if you get in, to survive there was even more impossible. At that place, so when Prabhupada heard that one of his disciples is getting so much success in those areas, Prabhupada also has some business acumen because he was a successful businessman before. Prabhupada said, normally speaking, you need understanding of the product and some appreciation for the salesman. If these two things are not there, you won't buy something. But in your case, perhaps you may be the only black skinned person in the whole country. And what you are selling, nobody knows what these books are. Still you are selling them. That is your success. So his success was not just because of just speaking. It was more of his zeal, his passion for serving Prabhupada. After serving like this for many, many years, he took sannyas. His name was Ghanashyam. After seeing his video and reading his books, I just made a list of what this personality actually, what kind of hats he wore. Just imagine, one of his books describe him as, Bhaktidhir Swami is a Vaishnava sannyasi, he's a spiritual leader, he's a counselor, he's a mediator for countries. He would mediate problems between countries, not just communities or some corporations or individuals. He's a speaker, he's a wonderful speaker. He's a Vaishnava guru, he's an author, writer, and lastly, he's a king. One African tribe coronated him as their king. So when he would go, he would get a gun salute at the airport. So we actually are unaware as to what kind of impact he had. Among his friends were Nelson Mandela, Muhammad Ali, Kenneth Kaunda, the president of Zambia, the ex-president of Zambia, and so many sports people, so many political people. In Washington, D.C., he would be coming at least 2-3 days on the local TV channel for his interviews and sometimes addresses. But more than that, he was a person who, in one of his videos, he's asked, Swamiji, who are you and what do you do? So he told that my name is so-and-so and I am a lover of people. So whatever small efforts we have done here at Radha Gopinath Mandir in building a community of devotees, we would always be told that please try to understand that there is at least one person who is into community building and he really, really appreciates this. I had taken one seminar given by Bhaktidhir Maharaj in Mayapur. Just to end, I will just tell one short memory of that. Of late, ISKCON as a community, when it grows, so many social issues come up. So Bhaktidhir Maharaj had dedicated his maybe a few, quite a few years of his life for 5 specific things which he says ISKCON needs to improve. They all deal with protection of cows, old people, women, children, and brahmanas. In fact, at one point of time, in his diksha vows, he would tell the candidate for initiation that do you vow that you will try whatever way possible in your might to protect these 5 things? Because the Bhagavatam says that when these 5 segments of society are abused, ignored, or not taken care of, the entire society cannot progress. And especially ISKCON with its leadership issues. In that seminar which he had entitled, The Art of Forgiving. Now I just went there because of curiosity that what is so much in forgiving? You can just say, okay, I forgive you. But that 3-day seminar really opened everybody's eyes. He said, how many of you here are managers in ISKCON? And of course, 5-6 of us raised their hands. I raised mine. And he said, okay, please come forward. And he made us stand. How many of you feel that you have been abused by ISKCON managers? I said, my God, what should happen now? And then 3-4 people came forward and they said, oh, I was like this and somebody took my money, somebody took my time, someone did this to me, someone did that to me. And he told us, now you all have to prostrate yourself and beg apologies from these people. On behalf of that body which you represent. Then he said, how many of you are teachers in ISKCON Gurukuls or schools? And some people came forward. And he said, how many of you feel that you have been abused in schools? And some kids came forward, some Gurukulis. And he made them offer prostrated dandavats. So he did that with parents, with teachers, with all kinds of segments. He was very astutely aware of everything. And lastly, he said, how many of you feel that you have been disappointed by leaders in ISKCON, the gurus? And one or two devotees said yes. So when they came forward, he stood at the left-hand side. He said, when Prabhupada made us leaders, we were disciples, we were followers. At the same time, our situation was like a young girl, age 13, 14, 15, and she gets married. Previously in India, he gave an Indian example. Let's say in 2 years or 1 year, she has a child. So she's a mother, but she's still a young girl. So he says, we were gurus, but we also needed our own shelter. And he said, in that regard, many of my godbrothers, they couldn't fulfill both obligations. It was too much for them. And he said, I apologize on their behalf. And when he said this, and he offered his pranams, there was not a dry eye in the entire seminar hall. Similarly, his passing away, Bhakti Charu Swami told him that, I don't have much interaction with you, but now that I see that you are about to leave, you could be doing so much. He had a small tumor on his left leg. Was it left or right? Yeah. That was there for decades. Just last year, when he saw some social problems going up in ISKCON, and he said, I can't stand it. I can't allow this to happen. He said, we have the example. We say that Jesus Christ, Haridas Thakur, Vasudev Datta, Prahlad Maharaj, that's not just theory. There has to be one person who comes forward and says that, I take some responsibility. And he says, I am very vocal. If I see something wrong, I always speak against it. This is something I won't tolerate. And he declared, I am willing to be, if at all that sacrifice does something, I will do that. In fact, His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj was telling us that he sent him an email that, Maharaj, please stay, don't leave. At one point of time, there was some chance that by amputating his leg, his body could be saved. So Maharaj said, I wrote to him, you sacrifice one lotus foot, the other one is enough to give us shelter. You don't dance physically, but if you come in a kirtan, you will make all of us dance. But please don't leave. So as his godbrothers were pleading, so much so that people are thinking that cancer is completely under his control. If he wants, he can just tell it to go. But then he revealed to Bhakti Charu Swami that, I think by leaving, I will be causing much more positive impact than what I can by staying here and just mouthing empty words. So, we have witnessed actually something straight away from the pages of our holy scriptures. that is one person, did not just glorify Srila Prabhupada's mission by just numbers or by assets or by estates, but by his pure example. His Holiness Srila Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj ki, Srila Prabhupada ki. I would now like to request Radha Gopinath Prabhu to kindly make his offering.
It is said, life is a preparation and death is the examination. A person's caliber and his dedication, etc., or his offering is tested at the time of or how he left this world, leaves the world. And he himself said, just a week or so, 15 days before he left this world, he said, I lived in style, I'm going to die in style. And his passing away, actually, just like in Chaitanya Charitamrita it says, when Haridas Thakur was leaving, all the devotees, he had a desire. He wanted to leave in a particular way. And Mahaprabhu said, since your desire is so strong, it has to be fulfilled. Krishna has to fulfill it. And when he left exactly the way he wanted, with devotees, surrounded by devotees, surrounded by the holy name, and with Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's feet on his chest and chanting Sri Krishna Chaitanya, everyone remembered the way Bhishma passed away. He had Ichha Mrityu. He died the way he wanted. Krishna had to fulfill. He personally came along with all the intimate devotees, the Pandavas, to fulfill the desire of Bhishma, to see that the Pandavas are happy and gloriously situated. Similarly, when I just on the net, I just saw the last day when he left this world, all the devotees surrounded, chanting the holy name. He had a desire, he wanted to live in a particular way with devotees, and Krishna fulfilled his desire. So truly, I mean, one thing that stands out was what is within was without. He was very vocal, as Samana Prabhu was mentioning. He saw something, he spoke it out. So he was absolutely non-duplicitous. In his whole lifestyle, he had a very clear way of making his heart known. His books speak about that. He writes one series called The Spiritual Warrior. And truly, he was a spiritual warrior. From all the definitions that, all the descriptions we hear, he was really a warrior. And in the end, he was victorious. He writes in that last book, part 5, the last series of that Spiritual Warrior, he says, the perfect escape. And he says, a prisoner, what is a perfect crime? So perfect crime means he leaves no trace of any clue of how to catch that person. So that is a perfect crime. Similarly, he said, a perfect escape is when a prisoner in the prison house decides to escape and he doesn't leave anything for Maya to catch him. So from the material world, as a spiritual warrior, practically, he made the perfect escape by living perfectly and even dying perfectly. The way surrounded by the perfect situation. This can't happen. Anybody may desire anything, but desired thing can't happen until and unless the Lord's special mercy is there. He writes another series. It's called The Beggar. The Beggar 1, The Beggar 2, The Beggar 3. And in that sense, he was a perfect beggar. Because when a perfect beggar, when he begs, person has to give. You can't stop. And he begged and he got what he wanted. He got the special mercy of the Lord just the way he wanted. So, in this world, sometimes Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Mahajano yena gata sapantha, that you have to follow in the footsteps of Mahajans. And there he says there are ancient Mahajans and recent Mahajans. Ancient Mahajans means before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and recent Mahajan means the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by their example and the intimate associates of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Their example and their instructions is the best example for us. So similarly, in the recent time amongst the followers of Srila Prabhupada, it's a good fortune to be a witness, to be in at a particular time, to see such bold, clear-cut life of dedicated to preaching, and how one can actually make the perfect escape at the end. So, this particular event gives us, at least personally me, a great faith in this process that has been given by Prabhupada. And one time Prabhupada was giving a lecture about the Mahajans. And at the end of the lecture, he was talking about the 12 Mahajans. And at the end, one disciple just mentioned, Prabhupada, you are the 13th. And Prabhupada looked at him and he said, and you are the 14th. What he meant was, if we follow in the footsteps, then it is guaranteed the process of Krishna consciousness is going to be successful. If you have lived a life of non-duplicitous, pleasing to Krishna to the best of our ability. So, I only pray on this auspicious day that I will be able to extract something from His Vani that He has left for all of us and get full advantage of it. Srila Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj ki. Most of our doctors, practically Giriraj Prabhu and all the others, had the good fortune of personally having interaction with him when he came and stayed at the hospital for 3 full weeks. And therefore, I think they had quite a lot of interaction with him. And that was our good fortune that in that way, many of our devotees got our association. I would like to request His Grace Giriraj Prabhu to kindly share his realization.
Hare Krishna. To be with His Holiness Bhaktitirtha Maharaj, it means a festival of joy, festival of enthusiasm, and festival of inspiration, born out of deep commitment, dedication, in offering at the lotus feet of Srila Prabhupada his entire life. Because of being associated with Bhaktivedanta Hospital and because of the mercy of senior Vaishnavas, we had some chance to be with His Holiness Bhaktitirtha Maharaj, and we tried to serve him. Once he came, suddenly late night he came, and I was somehow present taking round of the patients, and Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu brought him in the hospital, and I was so happy to have him in our hospital. And he was telling us that I thought that there must be a small nursing home or a clinic, but such a wonderful big offering for Srila Prabhupada. And from the day one, he was so happy to be there in our hospital. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu asked me, Giriraj Prabhu, can you prepare some prasad for him? He had come for a panchakarma treatment, and somebody had told me that you have to starve. For a few days he was not eating anything because he was going to start his panchakarma treatment. And Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu said, no, Maharaj, you can have whatever you want. So that was the first time I could serve him prasad, and it was a joy to see him honoring prasad so wonderfully. During his stay, we had a different conversations with him. But throughout these conversations, one thing was very, very prominent, that his concern, a genuine deep concern for a large group of population. As we know now, that in the end, he asked for this suffering, for the benefit, for the spiritual benefit of humanity at large, and for the devotees, and for our Gurukuli children. But even during his conversation, this concern for others was prominent. We were discussing at different aspects. He was saying one time how the morality in our India is gradually going down. Seeing at the billboards, seeing the culture going down, he was concerned. And that time we told him that, Maharaj, there was a topic which was going in newspapers that government had decided to close down the pubs beyond 11, not to start, continue beyond 11 o'clock. And he was surprised and joyful. He said, really? That means there is still some morality is left in India, that government is trying to close the pubs by 11 o'clock. In Western countries, government will encourage that these pubs are open whole night. Also, he was, as Radha Gopinath Prabhu said, Shyamananda Prabhu said, that he was preaching amongst elite group of peoples. When we asked him, how do we increase preaching amongst doctors? He said that so much of work has gone in preaching amongst the doctor in the United States. And he gave us such a wonderful insight how to preach amongst the doctors. He said that tell the doctors themselves that a scientific study has proved that 50% of the doctors die by the age of 50 years. He said, it was he who revealed to us that maximum suicide rates amongst all the doctors is amongst the psychiatrists themselves. These are the revealing facts. He told us that tell the doctors to preach that die, you yourselves are at the risk of dying so early. In fact, one startling statement he made, that they spend their whole life to earn money, and in the end, they spend their entire fortune to earn that same health which they have lost. Also, he was deeply concerned about the stress, especially amongst emotional stress, the psychological disturbance which the modern day is offering to the humanity at large. And especially he was very much concerned the emotional stress which devotees are going through. At length he was describing how even Krishna consciousness, the emotional stress is such an important factor at different level of the devotees, right from beginning from the new devotees to the later stages. And he was explaining that how much need for us to give care, concern to the devotees and treat this aspect also as something which we need to take care of and do not neglect it or do not consider that as something abnormal. Was also very much concerned about the whole world in which how the world was going into the hands of few selfish people. One day he was speaking about the whole world is controlled by three industries. One is a defense industry, second is medicine drug industry, and the third is a substance abuse industry. These are the three main areas. The whole world is controlled practically by these three selfish type of people. Also, Bhaktivedanta Maharaj once came to Bhaktivedanta Hospital and he was very happy to see the entire hospital. And he was so happy, and while going, I was accompanying him up to the end of the Mira Road junction. And there his car was waiting and I was waiting on my scooter. And he called me nearer to him. And he said that, Giriraj Prabhu, I want to give one message to your spiritual master. I said, yes, Maharaj, please tell. He said, tell your spiritual master that he is a spiritual genius. That he has created such a wonderful hospital, such a wonderful avenue for preaching. But the most important thing is a place where which devotees can stay together, practice Krishna consciousness and earn money, a living example of Daivi Varnashram Dharma, which Srila Prabhupada wanted so much in our society of Krishna consciousness. Also, one thing I still remember, his dancing, as many devotees said, that the last dancing, which he was here last time, I think it was a Nityadan Trayodashi, Gaur Purnima. And that is the time when he was dancing, and after the program was over, the dancing was still going on and on and on. And he, in association with His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj, they were dancing, and that was a time I really understood what is the meaning of becoming mad in the kirtan. Because there was no bounds left. Vishwaruprabhu was holding that famous duffli, and Maharaj was just beating and beating and beating, and he was fully perspiring. And that memory is still lingering in my mind, what is the meaning of madness in the dancing. In the end, His Holiness has taught us that how he taught us how to live, and he also taught us how to leave, how to go. By this wonderful pastime of passing away from this material world, he has taught us how I should keep faith in my own God brothers. He has increased my faith in my God brothers. He has increased my faith in my spiritual master. He has increased my faith in this whole process of Krishna consciousness, which is given so wonderfully by Srila Prabhupada. We are very much grateful to His Holiness Bhakti Tirth Maharaj for this wonderful lesson which he has given to us. Thank you very much.
Actually, as Giriraj Prabhu was telling about this hospital, I remembered I was there with a car with him when he actually went to the hospital for the first time. Just this memory came to me right now. And generally he is a man who doesn't get surprised, or very man of few words. So the first time, as the turning and as he neared the hospital and he saw the building, and I pointed out, I said, "Maharaj, this is the hospital." He said, "What?" He was very surprised. And then we went and in the corridor at the entrance, and then Raghunath Prabhu was there to receive him, and then we went inside, the door opened, and then he saw Prabhupada's murti there. He said, "Wow!" And then we went past that to the lift, and the lift door opened, and he went inside, the lift door closed, and he heard Prabhupada's kirtan. He said, "Unbelievable." Just three words, but his expression showed it. He was so appreciative. So I would request now His Grace Sanat Kumar Prabhu to kindly share his... If Dwarkadish Prabhu is here, kindly can come behind.
Somehow I wasn't here during his visits in the recent years, but I still remember a few interactions about his initial visits to our temple about 8-10 years back. And he was giving lecture, sitting here, and he was glorifying our community. At the same time, he described his relationship with His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj, where he was explaining that strike me very much, that he was saying that in the beginning I was thinking that he is my little brother and used to talk to him that way. Later on I realized that he is my friend, so I used to talk with him in that language. And now I relate him as my Shiksha Guru. And that he spoke about 10 years back. So that I realized that how great Vaishnavas, their relationship is based upon the spiritual quality that Vaishnava exhibits. Usually our understanding of anyone who is a senior is we always calculate the number of years. that we always are proud many times saying that this person is my counselee or I introduce him into Krishna consciousness. And without regarding how much spiritual progress he has made, usually our relationship is based on thinking that I am a bit senior. But here he was such a senior Vaishnava, one of the visionary leaders of ISKCON, and still he was explaining in a humble position. So I understand that how one has to recognize a person according to his spiritual status, irrespective of mundane calculations. And then second thing is, I don't remember who, but at that time, about 10 years back, when he was here, somebody in our congregation left his body, and all the devotees went to his place, we did kirtan, and next day we sent prasadam to his house. So he was mentioning that, I am carefully noting what are the activities you are doing it, and I noted that how you are taking care of your people, and very impressed by that. So here I saw his like unorthodox preacher is preaching in so innovative way, but still he is, wherever he goes, is looking for the things what I can learn from others. So that made a deep impression in my mind that here is a sannyasi, and he is guiding even to the heads of the states, and still he is taking such a humble position and admitting publicly that I want to learn from you. So from that day on, I made it a resolution in my mind that whenever I go to any temple or visit any devotees, I would always look what is good in there, what I can learn from them, what are the spiritual qualities that person stands for. So these are the two incidences made a deep impact on my mind. Then later on, after many years, I just attended one of his Vyaspuja celebration in Mayapur. Because his appearance day comes close to the GBC meeting times. So it was celebrated in Gurukul in Mayapur, in the small Jagannath temple, where all his disciples, God brothers and well-wishers were offering him glorification. And after each person would offer glorification to Bhaktitirtha Swami, he would in turn glorify that person with 10 of his mouths, expressing the gratitude about his devotional service, how he's inspiring him in, how he's assisting him in service to his spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada. So, Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj was one of our supporters. Like, he always appreciated, always guided us. And ISKCON, as a whole, lost one of the main visionary leaders who could use to preach and influence the lives of so many people. So, but when he was preparing for his final days, the way he has done it in such a way that he has inspired the lives of so many devotees, and it is like a milestone, and we can, referring to those lectures, we can get so much inspiration in our devotional service. Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna. The impact of a devotee or impact of a leader, among various other criteria, can be judged by how deeply influences the lives, the people he guides. In Bhaktivedanta Maharaj's glorious life, we can see that as one by one our society is facing this unique phenomena whereby we have to reconcile with the fact that a 40-year-old movement has now is bound to see departure of the devotees who will move on from their present status of devotional service to the next higher realm of devotion. We have seen the most powerful example beginning with when the movement was young, it was all fun and prasadam and kirtan and distribution of books and like that. But then the society also of Vaishnavas has to learn how to actually handle and face this most important stark reality of life, that is death. Therefore, it was Krishna's fantastic arrangement to show the final pastimes of how the founder Acharya himself led this world. And then following in Prabhupada's footsteps, how we can see one by one as devotees are growing. All the devotees are deeply, powerfully and subtly being influenced by the fact that how the process of ISKCON really works. How this movement is a viable movement. Indelibly we are getting these impressions of how to lead our life in such a glorious way, and that if you were to follow in the teachings of Prabhupada and these great souls are in front of us, then we are being convinced beyond our doubts. Ultimately, when Prabhupada began preaching in 65, it was only Shabda Praman. He was speaking, but there were no proofs of what really he's talking about. But 40 years later down the line, we are seeing the actual tangible proofs of how people who really follow that philosophy graduate to the spiritual world. There was a small nice book I read a few months back about Ratna Ranjani Mataji. Not a very powerful leader, but just in that sense, ordinary devotee. But in her life, as the book reveals, that as a devotee who was from earlier as a karmi life and then devotional life and then becoming a woman, practicing mother, book distributor like that, but being faced with cancer at that time of death, went through horrible experiences of convulsions and radiotherapy and chemotherapy. But in that deep state of massive all spread around sickness, she had the revelation of what is the nature of her devotional service to Radha Krishna in the spiritual world. Now, that book really had such a deep anchor on my mind, because the book was primarily written to prove to the ISKCON world that the process of Srila Prabhupada actually works. So, in Bhaktivedanta Maharaj's case, among all the glorious things he has shown us, as some of our devotees said, we have got this now tangible proof that if we follow in the footsteps of these great souls, we will also, by chanting, by whatever process we are doing, by our regulative principles, by eating prasadam, by worshipping the deities, this process is foolproof. There may be problems in a society like anywhere else in the world, leadership problems, management problems, conflicts, all that may be there, but the process is perfect. The process is undeniably one which will take us back to the lotus feet of Krishna. So, I feel that in his departure, what he has shown is how, even though he was saying, I will go in the next few days, in 2-3 days or 1 week, Krishna kept him here for a longer time than what he wanted to probably leave earlier. But in every devotee's mind, for the last several weeks, it is only Bhakti Tirtha Swami. We became completely conscious of him. He became so famous. I was sitting and chanting today behind at Prabhupada's lotus feet, and I saw a young girl coming down. She was playing in our dramas. She just walked down she was about 7 years old. And somebody's asking, who's this? Who's this? Whose picture is this? This picture was over there. So this is Bhakti Tirtha Swami. So they offer, both these small girls offered obeisances. So before maybe 1 month, these girls did not know who this great personality is. But now even the smallest member of our congregation identifies, here is a worshipable great hero. And his life is perfect. So indelibly, even the small child has that now the impact, because that's the way he departed from this world. So how the devotees rallied around him. We will have such things in our congregation also. We will have devotees who will be dying. And how the devotees, we learn, rally around each other to give emotional support, financial support, medical support, all kinds of things which are required. Because that person is on a glorious journey upwards to a higher realm of devotional service. Finally, Bhakti Maharaj is a person. We see that in the world, material world, the greatest power is death. Everything is destroyed with death. But we can see when somebody follows bhakti process, he conquers the most powerful thing in the world, that is death. How glorious is that person who can conquer death itself, who conquers everybody else. So, the glories of such a person who has such potency to conquer death itself, can never be underestimated. So to take his example to heart, to follow his inspirational teachings, and to become, as he taught all of us, a beggar, a transcendental beggar at the feet of Guru and Gauranga, that's a perfect way to live our life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, we are also very fortunate to have with us today one of the disciples of His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, His Grace Mahamantra Prabhu, who was here when Maharaj visited for his hospital visit, and he's also been with us now for a few months. And same in the spirit of His Guru Maharaj, also doing a wonderful service of teaching Mridanga to all the brahmacharis, practically except one or two nobody knew. And therefore, dancing could not be very enlivening. So he is indirectly helping in this process. I would like to request him to share his thoughts.
Namaste Krishna Padaya Prabhupada Ashitatmane Shri Gaura Karuna Shakti Bhakti Tirtha Iti Namini. I offer my respectful obeisances to His Holiness Bhakti Tirtha Swami Maharaj, who resides at Krishna's lotus feet, having taken full shelter of His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, and who personifies the compassion and mercy potency of Lord Chaitanya. Having come to Krishna consciousness in Australia, I was searching for a spiritual master to take shelter of. And it was at a particular instance, after observing different spiritual masters within our movement, it was at a particular instance in, I think, January 2000, just after the Rath Yatra festival in Byron Bay, that I that confirmed my decision to take shelter of Marge. It was for two reasons primarily. I could see Marge's extreme taste for chanting the holy name of Krishna, both his intensity and in absorption in japa, and his extraordinary kirtans. It was not the flair of the kirtans which confirmed this decision for me, but the taste Maharaj had in chanting congregationally the holy name of Krishna. The second reason was Maharaj's ability to bring people together in community, in this in a community spirit of devotional service. I still picture this kirtan where most of you have seen, many of you have seen Maharaj's kirtans, you remember, and some devotees have already previously described the ecstasy of his kirtans. But I remember the climax of this particular kirtan, where it was a festival time, so you had your regular devotees, you had your devotees who come sometimes to attend the temple and the programs, functions. And then there were actually quite a lot of devotees who had not come for a long time. Some of them were devotees who hadn't been practicing for a while, or not so active within the temple community. And others were, there was a large group of ex-Gurukulis, children who have gone through our schools in ISKCON, and many of them were no longer, they needed to experience the material energy for themselves. They're not like us who have already experienced material energy and then come to devotional service understanding what it's like. So I picture Maharaj bringing everyone to Srila Prabhupada's Vyasa San and linking hands with everyone with upraised arms, all loudly chanting Jai Prabhupada, including these people who were not very active anymore in devotional service, and as well as these children who had gone out to experience the material energy, and they had come maybe just after a very long period of time. But Maharaj was bringing in his ecstasy and taste for the holy name of Krishna and Kirtan, he was sharing that with everyone, and he was bringing everyone together, and then it climaxed coming in front of Prabhupada and everybody feeling this unity within Prabhupada's family and shelter. The time I had the most association with Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj at one particular time was actually here in Bombay, in Bhaktivedanta Hospital. Yeah. My first time I came here was with Maharaj for Gopinim Day 2003. Anyway, I'll share one last thing. When the devotees came to pick up Maharaj from the airport, I was with him. When he arrived in Bombay, there were some devotees as well as Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, who was the head of the Ayurvedic department of Bhaktivedanta Hospital. So he was going to be heading up a lot of Maharaj's treatment, Panchakarma treatment. It turned out that Maharaj, later on in the hospital, Maharaj was saying, I've never given any time for my body. Maharaj was always tireless in the mission of his spiritual master. He never rested. He never broke. The most time he ever spent for his body was in an operation he had, and he just stayed in the hospital overnight. Then he was spending 3 weeks in the hospital and sharing with us that, I can't believe it, I'm spending 3 weeks for my body. My body is only being used in the service of Krishna. But in the past, I've never spent any time for this body. So anyway, back to the story where Maharaj arrived. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, he asked, what are your health issues? Maharaj was facing some health issues which were impeding his service. So he said, it's a bladder, it's a prostate, and it's my foot. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, he said, give me a look at your foot. Maharaj showed him his left foot and explained that these are two tumors since birth that I've had. One was hard like a knot, and the second was kind of soft and spread over a more larger portion of the foot. You would have seen Maharaj, he would wear socks to cover up the tumors because they were quite large. So Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu, he said, actually these two tumors that you have, these are very auspicious according to, he said Ayurveda or astrology, something Vedic. He said these two tumors are very auspicious. Hare Krishna. These two tumors are very auspicious. These are the two chakras. Shastra explains two chakras on the left foot of a person, the top of the left foot. These indicate, these are the birth signs, the bodily signs of someone who has the ability to rule the world, to conquer the world, actually. And we can see Maharaj, his mission was unconditional service to his spiritual master. And he lived a life of a worldwide, of a global change agent. He was seeing the suffering and the ignorance of the people worldwide. And from the stories we have heard of Maharaj, he affected the lives of people worldwide, both within the devotional community and within the secular world. We saw through his books, Maharaj has written and printed more than a dozen books, translated into more than a dozen languages. And these books, if you read them, he's written them in such a way that they appeal, attract, and transform the hearts of both the devotees and your regular everyday people who think that they are not attracted to the process of Krishna consciousness. Like one devotee who just made an offering, I think Shamanandapur, anyway, he said that in the name of management books, in the name of leadership books, Maharaj was bringing people who think that they are not attracted to the principles of devotional service, to the process of devotional service. In war, the most highly effective art of warfare is espionage, where the person seems to be one of you. They enter into you, and then you soon find who they really are. So similarly, Maharaj, he was in many ways unorthodox in the sense that he would do anything to give people Krishna consciousness, who seemed not only that he inspired devotees worldwide, and then he attracted the hearts of so many who were not seemingly interested in the principles of in the practice of devotional service. Hare Krishna.
It was also our good fortune that two of our devotees from Radha Gopinath Mandir were there visiting Maharaj in his last days, when His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj was also there with him, His Grace Govind Prabhu and Shikshashtakam Prabhu. And they had the good fortune of meeting and speaking to him. And His Holiness Bhakti Tirth Maharaj was very much, very intimately was actually speaking to them. So I would like to request His Grace Govind Prabhu to kindly share his thoughts with us.
Hare Krishna. In the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is a description about Dhruva Maharaj living this material world. And it mentions there, when Dhruva Maharaj saw the personification of death, or death personified, approaching him. Usually death personified, when he comes, he steps on our head. And he finishes our material existence for the next material body. But Srimad Bhagavatam explains, when Dhruva Maharaj saw the personification of death, he used death personified as a stepping stone to step on the space or the transcendental plane and went back to the spiritual world. And when I would read that, I didn't understand. How do you step on the head of the death personified? But when we saw, myself and Shikshastaka provided the good fortune of almost going every week to hear Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. And he was preparing himself to to follow exactly in the line of Dhruva Maharaj. The philosopher explained that death is the greatest evil. But for him, death became an exciting moment. When will it come? He was just eager to quit the body, stepping on the head of the death and continue to perform his devotional service to Srila Prabhupada. And we could see that. And therefore, the Shastras explain that one cannot understand simply reading the books. The Shastra themselves explain. To understand what devotional service is, what is the, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead is, if we have the access to peep in the life of great devotees, then everything becomes very clear. I remember one time Jayadeva Swami Maharaj was here and somebody asked this question, Maharaj, if you have a choice to read the Shastras and to associate with devotees, which one should we choose? And Jayadeva Maharaj, without even thinking, he's the editor of the all the books of Srila Prabhupada. He didn't think twice. He said, books will always be there. But devotees, how long they will stay in this world? And what will you know by reading the books? But by peeping into the life of great devotees, you can understand what is there in the spiritual world. And in fact, as Dwarkadish Prabhu mentioned, when we visited Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, this was May 14th or 13th. And that time, the doctors had told that it is a miracle that he is still living in this body. And when we went there, we were expecting almost, we would not have his darshan. They told that nobody can meet him, he has gone to some treatment. And I was thinking, if I don't meet him, and if I go back without meeting Maharaj, that will be greatest disaster in my life. And we were quite in anxiety that we will not meet him. But suddenly somebody told him that there are two brahmacharis have come from Radha Gopinath temple. And then immediately said, I want to meet them. So when we went to meet him, I offered my obeisances, Shikshastakam Prabhu offered his obeisances. And Radhanath Maharaj was sitting there, talking to him, discussing him. And Maharaj introduced, this is Govind and this is Shikshastak. And he said, yes, I know them very well. Of course, he knew them. He knew us as devotees of Radha Gopinath. And he started explaining that I'm very grateful that your temple has taken a lot of responsibility to develop the community spirit under the leadership of His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. And I said, Maharaj, you know, we have your Parikshit Prabhu and now his sannyasi, Bhakti Dhir Damodar Maharaj, and we have your disciple Mahamantra Prabhu stay with us. He said, I know them. And he said, Parikshit Prabhu, he said, I have told him that unless you spend a bit of time at Radha Gopinath temple, I will not give you sannyas. That was the condition. And he made him stay more than 6 months. He was a regional secretary, brahmachari for 25 years. And he told, you have to go and stay with the brahmacharis, not in the guest house. And he's a regional secretary, almost close to the GBCs. But this devotee, Parikshit Prabhu, following the orders of his spiritual master, he stayed with us. And regularly would come and clean the temple during maha cleaning. And even after he took sannyas, he wrote a letter. I may be a sannyasi, but don't give me a special room. I want to continue to stay in the brahmacharya ashram. Good fruit comes from good trees. So he did that. And then Maharaj said, only because of that, I'm willing to give him sannyas. And he gave him sannyas. And Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj explained that my life is getting closer. And he said, I had prayed for higher purification. For what? To help devotees. We see that again a Vaishnava, sometimes there is a wrong understanding amongst devotees that when you put devotees under difficult condition, you create a difficult situation so that they can take shelter of Krishna. That is not Vaishnavism. To create difficulties to others so that they can take shelter of Krishna. Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj is mentioning that because there are so many difficulties in the life of devotees, it becomes very difficult for them to practice devotional life. They have emotional problem, they have physical problem, they have mental problem, and therefore they cannot practice devotional life comfortably. And he said, this is his conversation with us. I'm just reading and speaking from that. And I was praying for higher purification so that I can take suffering of others. And if I can take the suffering of others, so that Krishna can make their spiritual life comfortable. I prayed for it. And then he said, I think, with a smile on his face, he said, I think Krishna has answered my prayers. And then he started explaining, all religious traditions leaders have practiced and lived by it. He quoted Lord Buddha. Lord Buddha was desiring to come as Bodhisattva in every lifetime. Even though their philosophy is Nirvana, but he wanted to come back to preach and to save the fallen conditioned souls. He talked about Lord Jesus. He spoke about Muhammad. He spoke about Zoroastrian, a leader of the Zoroastrian sect. He said, all of these leaders, the principle of compassion and sacrifice one's life is always there. And he said, just like in our tradition also, Vasudev Dutt, Haridas Thakur, and so many great personalities, Prahlad Maharaj. Then he said, it should not be only in the pages of the Shastra. There has to be example all the time so that people can be inspired to see, yes, here is also a leader. He's also a person who is willing to take the suffering of others so that others can practice spiritual life. He talked about Mother Teresa also. She was also there. And she also sacrificed her life for others' cause. And then he explained, we need such example presently. And if Krishna is using me to show this, I'm extremely happy. And he's explained that he has received so many letters after he became sick. Some devotees he had not seen for many, many years. They actually lost all contacts with devotees. In fact, for 15 to 20 years, they had no contact with any devotees whatsoever. And he said, these devotees are writing such a beautiful letter. Why? Because by he going all the suffering, he was opening their heart, which was already filled with devotional service to Prabhupada and Krishna. And because he went through that, immediately that opened. And that soft-heartedness was revealed. And they were writing very beautiful letters. And he said, what to speak of only ISKCON devotees. Even the Gaudiya Math devotees are writing letters to me. And then he again came back and he started speaking. He was glorifying Radhanath Swami Maharaj. He said, you are all very fortunate to be trained. And he said, I have personally seen in our society sometime people were used to get things done. Devotees or people were used so that certain projects should be accomplished. And in doing so, Maharaj was mentioning some people were abused. But I know and I have seen, I have personally experienced that in your community that devotees are taken very nice care. They are trained very nicely. And he said, even though Radhanath Swami Maharaj got some very influential disciples, they are very meek and humble. That is the greatness of proper training. And then he started speaking about his disease. He said, even though I'm invalid and need support for everything, he said, when I pass urine, I want to scream loudly. It is so painful. Every drop causes great pain in my body. My bladder is not working. I have got arthritis. I am diabetic. My collarbone is fractured. I can't move left or right. One after another. Every day in another problem. He said, I'm only 55 years old. He said, I traveled all over the world, jumping from one place to another place, dancing in the kirtan, giving lectures. He said, my schedule was almost every day I would give 6 lectures. You can imagine 6 lectures, and he doesn't give lecture sitting slowly, one word, and pause for 5 minutes, and next word. when he gives lecture, when he would give lecture, in fact, the whole Vyasasana would jump along with him. He would be dancing in his lectures. I remember one time he was giving lecture here also in Mayapur. This was during GBC meeting. And he was wearing this African coat. He had a hat. And then he started his talk. Within 5 minutes, his coat flew off. His hat flew off. He was sweating so much. And he was giving such a pounding lecture for 1 hour without stop. And nobody could sleep, including myself. We were quite alert. And he was giving such lectures every day, 6 times a day. 3 for the devotees and 3 for the outsiders. As Krishna Chandrapur was mentioning during his offering, that in some places in Africa, the planes would not run. They had to push, like we push cars in India, and then jump in the flight, go to the next destination and give lecture. He said, I was doing that. He said, I was only doing it for Krishna, preaching all over the world. But he said, Krishna curtailed everything. He stopped everything. And I could have said, why Krishna is so cruel? A logical conclusion of the materialistic people and also neophyte devotees is that, if I have done so much for Krishna, what is he doing with me? This is what is giving me such a disease. He said, I had all reason to complain about what Krishna was doing. But from very beginning, I took this as Krishna's mercy. And even with this disease, I am trying to help others by spreading Krishna consciousness. And one thing he said, with a smile on his face, he said, you know what? I never felt such happiness in entire life of my Krishna consciousness. I never felt such happiness. I'm extremely happy. And he said that I will not trade anything in this cancer. I will not trade anything for this cancer. If anybody wants to give me anything, I would not trade anything, but I'll embrace this cancer. He said, just like you embrace the friend, I'm embracing this cancer. I'm most happy. And then he explained, in spiritual life, there is every reason to complain. Material world creates so many complications. People who are surrounding you, they cause a lot of complication to complain. He said, but spiritual life means, even though there is every reason to complain, one should not complain. One should continue with great enthusiasm. And he gave the example of Jesus Christ and gopis of Vrindavan. He said, there was no complaint. They continued to practice. Jesus was willing to accept other sin on his head. What do you mean by that? That is love. So that others can make progress in spiritual life. I saw and prayed, if my suffering can help others practice more spiritual life, I'm willing to receive this. And he explained, I received everything in this world. As John Favor, that was his legal name, as Ghanashyam, as Bhakti Tirtha Swami, as Krishnapad, as BT Swami. He said, I've received everything, so much of fame, so much of name. I met so many big, big people. But now, my life has come to end. But even in this condition, if I can help others practice devotional service, I'll be grateful. And he explained that I'm writing a book called Dying Before You Die. And he said, this book is not only for the devotees. This is meant for everybody. And this book will teach how to die with dignity. We see, if you go outside and see the materialistic people when they are dying, there is great fear on their face. They cause fear to others also by becoming fearful. They create quite a serious mood, a very scary mood. But Bhakti Tirth Maharaj, he was mentioning that I wanted to teach people how to die with dignity, as Gopinath was mentioning. When he made this comment in Gita Nagar, he was giving a talk about death. In fact, the kirtan which we played, the first kirtan, Jai Jai Radhe Jai Jai Shyam, that kirtan was so powerful, the entire temple of 400 devotees, I never seen such intensity in the kirtan. We may have very great kirtan at Radha Gopinath temple, but that kirtan when you are chanting, that 400 devotees, everybody in the temple was crying. Not only crying, they were intensely calling out. As Srimad Bhagavatam explains, while chanting Hare Krishna, one does not cry. One should understand that their heart is made of stone. But Bhakti Tirth Maharaj, by his chanting, he melted everybody's heart. In fact, when we came out of the kirtan, after the kirtan, I saw a tall German devotee, very large, very aggressive book distributor. But when he came out, his eyes were swollen, his eyes were red, and he continued crying like a small child. That was the power of his chanting. And while he was giving that talk, there was a mixture of joyfulness, and there was also sadness. And with great aggression, he made this point. He said, I lived with style. He was making this point, raising his fingers, looking with a sideline glance with all the devotees. And because I lived with style, I'm going to die with style. Not that the ash will come to pull me back to the spiritual world. He said, the Vaikuntha chariot will come. It's not that he was being arrogant or puffed up, because he knew the power of devotional service. He knew the power of association of his God brothers, God sisters, and all other devotees. And therefore he said that I lived with style and I will die with style. And he wanted to teach that, how to die in dignity. And then he explained that even though I'm dying in Gita Nagar, which is in one sense not like the holy place like Vrindavan or Mayapur, we were discussing in the morning. If you're about to die, you know that within few days you want to die. You'll make your plan to come to Vrindavan or come to Mayapur, not to take any risk. But he exactly followed the principle of Srila Prabhupada's teaching. Prabhupada explained that I have no sentiment of dying in Vrindavan. He said, I have no such sentiments. Srila Prabhupada explained, if I die in New York, which is the capital city of Maya, Srila Prabhupada explained, you can bury me on the roof of our building. He said, I don't care for these rituals, but I want to die on the battlefield while preaching. And Srila Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he was inculcating the same mood of his spiritual master. He took great risk of not dying in Vrindavan or Mayapur. But Vrindavan came to him. We are discussing in the morning. Some Brijbasis. Now, who can imagine that the Brijbasis would come to America? That is most unlikely. But Vrindavan came there, right in his room. And they were chanting so beautifully for Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. And there was a constant stream of water flowing from his eyes. And he experienced Vrindavan with his devotees. And then he explained that, you know what? I could not come with you all with yatras. I never came to Mayapur or Vrindavan. But every day, for hours together, he was listening the tapes of Radhanath Swami Maharaj, going to Vrindavan, going to Mayapur. He said, I am visiting every holy place, sitting right in Gita Nagari. And then he closed the discussion. And when we came out of the room, my mind was reeling, not with a negative feeling, with a powerful positive feeling. And then we were fortunate enough to go every week, almost every week. In fact, in Nivrindavan, during the festival of inspiration, Radhanath Swami Maharaj gave the talk. He was the keynote speaker and he had to speak on the subject of inspiration. And the whole subject he spoke about was Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. And all the devotees from Nivrindavan, it was almost 12 o'clock in the afternoon, they drove 5 hours, almost 250 devotees from Nivrindavan, they drove to Gita Nagar to hear from Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. And that became a regular feature. People coming from Washington, D.C., people coming from Detroit, 9 hours drive. People coming from New York, 5 hours drive. People coming from Nivrindavan, it's 5 hours drive. People coming from Albany, it's about 9 hours drive. Regularly, every week, hundreds of devotees would come there to hear from Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj. And he would give this powerful kirtan. And he would say, I can only speak for 10 minutes. And when he would start, his voice would be so low, nobody could hear. And then slowly, slowly, as if magic, as if some mystical thing, he would gain more and more strength. And almost he would be jumping and dancing while sitting on the Vasasan. And the last lecture which he gave, when he said, I am going for the Nirjan Bhajan. Nirjan Bhajan means being with only few of his God brothers and his followers, those who are few who are taking care of him. And that when he announced that, I am not going to see anybody, the whole temple burst into tears. And all the devotees, when they were driving his car to his place where he was living, about 100 devotees, again it reminds the pastimes of Vrindavan, when Lord Krishna is living Vrindavan, all the gopis, all the Brajavasis are running behind Krishna's chariot. And here was the car, the American car, driving fast. And so many devotees are running behind that car because they knew that they would not see their spiritual master, they would not see their leader in a living form. They would only see his mortal body, which would not be speaking any further. So everybody was running behind it. That was a very powerful scene to see, all his followers. And then from that day onwards, he kept for himself, and every day, 24 hours, outside his room, devotees would be chanting Hare Krishna for him. And one of his disciples, he told that when the devotees would chant, he could hardly sleep 2 or 3 hours. Constantly would be crying, tears. And Radhanath Swami Maharaj is telling, he explained to us, he said, you have seen Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, he was so aggressive in his preaching. Of course, he was never aggressive towards people. He was never harsh to people. He was very sensitive when he would address people. But in regard to preaching Krishna consciousness, the way he would walk, the way he would preach Krishna consciousness, he was very aggressive. But when the time came for him to leave this material world, Maharaj was mentioning, Radhanath Swami Maharaj, he became like a small child. For every small thing which was connected to Prabhupada, which was connected to Krishna consciousness, which was connected to his God brother, he would constantly cry. He was continuously crying and hearing the holy name of the Lord. And I received a mail also from Gaurang Prabhu. He was fortunate to be there. He explains, as far as Bhakti Tirth Maharaj's passing is concerned, Maharaj was stroking his hand and chanting next to him. But he looked as if he had passed away many hours before. We were sitting in front room of the institute in front of a TV screen and watching as we were chanting. Dhanurdhar Swami was sitting next to me and we were counting the number of seconds per breath, increasing from 10 to 20 to 30 until it became 1 minute. And as we saw that heavy breath after a gap of a minute, we commented on the long gaps. And then we saw the doctor testing the heart and then another doctor. And then they embraced each other, breaking down. And that was the signal that the whole room exploded with an indescribable emotions amidst tumultuous kirtan. I was really impressed. Devotees poured in from all over in hours. The ceremony started at 9 p.m. and went till 1 o'clock in the night. Gopal, one of his disciples, was looking so blissful, chanting loudly, victory, victory, back to Godhead, and playing mridanga like mad. Again, as Parikshit Maharaj was approaching death, we hear Takshaka was approaching to bite Parikshit Maharaj. So before death personified could come and capture Parikshit Maharaj, Bhagavatam explains that Parikshit Maharaj had already went back to the spiritual world. Takshak came, he only endeavored to bite the dead body of Parikshit Maharaj. Similarly, we see here that Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, I spoke this last week, that every week there was a rumor that maybe he's going to pass during Narsingh Chaturdashi, was going to pass on this day. And that day when Bhakti Tirth Maharaj is giving lecture on death, the entire temple, I remember there was a rumor that on Monday is going to pass. That was Sunday and next day was Monday. Everybody was talking about that. And Bhakti Tirth Maharaj smiled. He said, there is a rumor that I am going to pass tomorrow and that is not true. He said, I have already passed. I have already left this world and whatever is there, it is small things. The body has to be disintegrated. I am not in this material world anymore. And there was complete peacefulness. He was joyful. And you don't find a person is about to die. But we could see that. And that was our good fortune. And he continued the legacy of Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada had told when he was about to leave his body, don't think that this will not happen to you. And all of his followers, they were there. They heard that statement. And they proved, being the great followers of Srila Prabhupada, they learned so many things from Srila Prabhupada. But they also learned how to pass from this material world. When Sridhar Maharaj was passing, when he reached Mayapur, he was so relieved. He said, no more struggling with material energy. Now just going back to the spiritual world. With great relief, he passed from this world. Gaur Govind Maharaj and now Srila Bhakti Tirth Maharaj. And what do they teach us? They are teaching the same legacy. Not that we are sitting here and listening about Bhakti Tirth Maharaj, but any moment, as Bhakti Tirth Maharaj in every talk he was mentioning, that every third person in this world is going to contract cancer. And we will be one of them. Cancer or something else. And we have to learn from Srila Bhakti Tirth Maharaj and other followers of Srila Prabhupada to try to learn the art of stepping on death and going back to the spiritual world. Srila Bhakti Tirth Maharaj ki. Srila Bhakti Tirth Maharaj's divine glorious departure from this world ki.
Hare Krishna. So we will now have offering and then Kirtan will continue.